In the next few minutes, you'll hear about a continuing adventure on Discovering Virginia on the Virginia Voice. And for the Virginia Voice, I'm Lou Dean. In 2013, the Richmond Times-Dispatch published a book by writer Bill Lohman, photographer Bob Brown, entitled Backroads, People, Places, and Pies from Around Virginia. Well, 3 years later, in 2016, Bill and Bob have written not so much a sequel as Further Adventures, entitled On the Backroads Again, More People, Places, and Pie Around Virginia. Bill Lohman and Bob Brown join me in the studio. The last time you gentlemen were in the studio, you mentioned such places as the Hillsville Diner, Route 11 Potato Chips, Ralph Stanley, Tazewell, Burke's Garden, Cuz's Restaurant in that same area, Dip Dog in Marion, if you'll remember, Legal Moonshine, which was being made in Marion. I think it's made in, some people make it in Richmond right now, and several other places and adventures that you guys mentioned. Describe some of the places you write about and photograph in your latest book, On the Backroads Again, More People, Places, and Pie Around Virginia. I love it. Bob?
Well, this was it's sort of a continuance, places that we hadn't been before. Sometimes we revisited places that we had been and did follow-ups to the stories. But it seems like everywhere we went, we'd go with a story in mind, and we'd come away with two more ideas, at least.
And a different story than you started out,
perhaps?
Yeah.
When you're going into a story, you think about an angle, you think, well, this is going to be a good angle to approach. And you get there, and it just doesn't work. So you go to plan B.
I know you've both done follow-ups, and you just mentioned that, Bob. You did a follow-up. But you did a follow-up on Tazewell recently. Bill, you did a follow-up on Tangier. It's not necessarily in the book, but they both are?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see, the book is going to be well worth reading and seeing. Tell us about the follow-ups, what you found.
Well, in Tazewell, there was a little town called Pocahontas that we wrote about a decade ago because it was literally crumbling. It was an old coal mining boom town that once the coal mines closed, the people moved away and they had no money, no tax base to take care of the buildings. They had these great old buildings that are just falling apart. So we did a story on their efforts to save what they had about 10 years ago. There's nothing going on there. And we've been back a couple of times since then, and still not much going on. But the most recent time we went back in June, I guess it was, they have started these trails in the woods out there for off-road vehicles. And it's a big deal out in Southwest Virginia. West Virginia has something called the Hatfield-McCoy Trails that attract ATV riders, and people come on the weekends, and you know, hotels are filled, and people are all over these trails. So Virginia's started to set up trails out there, and Pocahontas is the site of one of the trails. And they've had developers come in and build cabins now. So it's the first real private development in decades in Pocahontas. Or as the Tazewell tourism coordinator told me for the story, that if you want to, how you depict Pocahontas is that things were so bad, the only operating business in town was the funeral home. Is how bad things have gotten there. But they're very optimistic. The high school closed down 6 or 8 years ago, and now somebody's going to turn that into a hotel. So, you know, things are looking up, they hope, out there a little bit anyway.
Well, they have to be if they have a tourism director.
Other parts
of, for the whole county.
Yeah, other parts of Tazewell are more visited, I guess. But yeah, Pocahontas, there's a little bit going on down there. So that was a natural follow-up. And we were down that way. You know, we didn't go all the way there just to do Pocahontas. That was one of about six stories we did on a trip down to Southwest.
If this were a work of fiction, which it is not, I would not ask you to give away the plot. But I do want to ask you to talk about some of the places you've been and describe some of the pictures that Bob took.
Most of the pictures were in focus. Which
that's a good start.
Where did we go? Well, I mean, we went back to some of these places we've been, Tazewell, Tangier, Bristol. But we went to some different places like Loudoun County. A lot of people don't think of Loudoun County as back roads, but there's a whole half of Loudoun County that's really unbelievable back roads out there. They've got, what, more miles of dirt roads in Loudoun than in any other county in Virginia?
Yeah.
You think of Loudoun as this sprawling development, which the eastern part of the county is, but the other half is horse country and dirt roads and these beautiful vistas. And so we did a piece on the back roads of Loudoun County. That's one place.
And there's enough money out there to keep that rural. In Loudoun, there's, you know, horse country, middle of horse country. And people want the dirt roads so they can ride the horses on them. Yeah, you know, one big place to another. Yeah, we have a section on Village Blacksmith. We feature three blacksmiths from around the state. And just there are pictures from Richmond all the way to one shot of you in Cumberland Gap.
Just
your foot.
Just my foot, yeah.
That's about as far west as you can get in Virginia.
In fact, my foot is stepping over the line from Kentucky to Virginia, or maybe Virginia to Kentucky or something. But to show that as you walk up the trail to the overlook there at Cumberland Gap National Historical Park, there's a little painted white line on the paved walkway that says Virginia and Kentucky. And of course, Tennessee is right around the bend. What are some other places we've been? I mean, people, we did about the blacksmiths. We did a lot of musicians. We caught up with some, you know, Robin and Linda Williams at when they were performing at the Barter Theater in Abingdon.
We were guests at a mystery meat luncheon in St. Paul. One of our friends, Frank Kilgore, invited us down to where he gave us the honorary Ferner of the Year awards, which is a really nice Virginia-shaped plaque made by a guy down there with a brass plaque on it. And
being from Richmond, you were considered Ferners?
Ferners, yep. Flatlanders, even though I grew up in the mountains. So we got down there, and Frank said, okay, we have seven different kinds of mystery meat. They were numbered, but they wouldn't tell us what was in them in each individual one. But he said, I'll tell you what is in them total. We have, let's see, moose, elk, deer, rabbit, squirrel, goat, and groundhog. And Bill had two bowls of groundhog and just loved it. I had the elk and moose tasted a little bit like horse.
How do you know?
Exactly.
I know I ate horse meat when I was in Italy. I know it.
Well, loved is a little strong. I like the pie better than the groundhog, but it was okay.
Well, you two guys are known, and it's part of the title, but you two guys are known for seeking out pie around Virginia.
Oh, we can smell a pie.
Yeah.
I think you sent me to Louisa to
Floozy's
Pie Shop.
Floozy's is in the book.
Yep.
Another great pie shop we found is down in Amherst County, a place called Woodruff's Cafe, which I'd heard about, and so we stopped there on the way to do other stories. And it was a great story because here's this woman in her 50s was running it, but it turns out her sisters, who were then retired, were helping her, and her mother, who was at the time 97 or 98, she's now 100, I guess she was 98, she sat at the back table holding court. And it turned out this family had grown up in this building for a time when the girls were younger. The mom, their dad was a farmer, I think, and he was working outside. But the mom ran this general store, and she pumped gas. And at the right times of day, she ran back to the barn to milk the cows. And they had reacquired this building, and they ran the pie shop, this cafe, out of this building where they had lived upstairs as young girls. And it was just a nice story, and the pie was unbelievable. At one point, they were featured in Southern Living, and they came in on Monday morning after the magazine came out. And people were lined up down the road. And she said, all we had were two home ovens. We didn't even have a commercial oven. And so they couldn't keep up with the demand. I think they're up to three home-style ovens. But it's a very small-time operation. But if you call them ahead of time, they'll make what you want or make sure they save you one. But it's good stuff. But the pies are part of the story, but the people are the rest of it.
It is a wonderful book. We're talking about On the Back Roads, again, more people, places, and pie around Virginia, with photographs by ace photographer Bob Brown, master writer Bill Lohman, and it's equal parts of pictures and description. I'm looking at parts of the book. You just have to understand. We're going to give you an audio tour of this book a little bit. Tell us some more of the adventures you had in getting these stories.
This was out in Wythe County, Big Walker Mountain Lookout.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's an old general store that this fellow's father and mother had started back in the 40s or 50s, and they moved east, and they found this spot on the mountain they loved, and they built a general store, And they built it. His father started building a tower. Got about halfway up, got about 50 feet off the ground because he knew how to do some of that metalworking. Decided he was high enough off the ground, and brought in people who finished it. So now they have a 100-foot lookout tower that they sell you tickets to go walk up, and you can walk all the way to the top of the tower and get an unparalleled view of Tazewell County to the west. And they said on clear days you can see 3 or 4 states from up there. I wouldn't know because I got about 20 feet up and decided I'd let Bob go and have fun on this one.
Yeah, Bill doesn't do heights, and I don't do water unless you have a little splash of bourbon in it.
Well, you've had some brushes with water, as I recall.
I have had some brushes with water, and Bill describes one of them in the book on our, on the water part.
Yeah.
At how reticent I am about, I'm too much of a hillbilly, I guess.
Bob, explain how you get some of these pictures. All of us take pictures. We have cell phones that have cameras, and it's nice to point them and take a candid shot. But yours are more thoughtfully composed. Some I know you take on the fly because you have to. How do you compose a picture? How do you say, this is what I want to get? Let me see how I can do it.
I don't know. I studied art the first year of college, and I switched to photography. And I've always had, I think, a sense of composition. You know, what I want. I walk into a situation, and last week, there was a press conference with the police chief, and they had a bunch of confiscated illegal guns. Well, to me, the shot is get up close to the guns with a wide-angle lens and have the chief in the background instead of just somebody at a podium. You know, that way you see both, and you emphasize what the main element is. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, you know.
You walk into a restaurant and you see both people and food, and how do you marry the two in a photograph?
Well, of course, the food's more important than the people. Did I say that a little loud?
Well, you know, when you get somebody really enjoying some food.
No, really, yeah. Well, it's like last week, we're doing a series because September is Virginia Spirits Month, and so I've been photographing bartenders around with mixing drinks with different Virginia spirits. And, you know, you have to put the bottles, in the right perspective with the bartender, who is important, but the brand is more important. So, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's like a little dance, I guess.
Well, I appreciate some of the travel pictures you've taken from around the state, and especially the back roads, where you don't see the same things you see in the big city. Now, again, you two, when you go to the back roads, you two are considered city slickers. How do the people warm up to you, these city slickers from the flatlands, who've come to mock us here in the backwoods?
Well, being sort of a hillbilly myself.
You're from Lexington, aren't you?
Lexington, Rockridge County.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's not backwoods to me. But.
Well, okay. But Bill and I seem to have the ability to relate to anybody, whether he's a waterman, construction worker, a farmer, whatever, because I think we respect people, and we pay them the respect they're due, and I think that comes across to them.
Bill Lohman, I'd like to hear your take on that, because you have to elicit a story from these people. You have to get them to open up to you.
It's a little harder, but it's like when people say, how do you do an interview? What's the most important aspect of interviewing? And it's not really the questions, it's the listening. You know, I mean, you got to ask decent questions, of course, but you don't go in big dealing people, especially when you're in their home, you know. You go in and you do a lot of listening, you let them talk. You don't go in thinking you have all the answers. So that's one way you get them to open up, is that they know you're not there to show them how to do it. You're there for them to show you how they do it.
Have you then been surprised, again, you kind of mentioned this a few moments ago, you go in thinking, here's the story, and then you find out, that wasn't the story at all, here's a better one.
Yeah, often, sometimes it's not a 90-degree turn, but it's certainly you find out more stuff that you weren't expecting to find out, and it makes the story better.
Now,
sure.
Understand if you're on assignment, yes, you have to get the story you were sent out to get. But when you're doing a travel book such as this one, anything goes.
Yeah, a lot of times, whenever we go out, we always have something in mind. We always have 2 or 3 stories planned. So we know generally what the stories we're going to get, whether it's we're going to visit the Country Music Museum in Bristol and get a story on this relatively new museum. We may go down and do a profile of an author as we're going to do a follow-up tomorrow with Beth Macy, who is in Roanoke. She's an author. She wrote The Factory Man a few years ago. Now she has a new book coming out. So she's in the book here, but we'll also have a story on her coming up in the next few weeks. So we know we're going to get these, but we may stop and get something else along the way. And those stories may, if she takes us somewhere that's interesting with somebody from her book, that adds another element to the story that we couldn't have anticipated. So there's always something different that we run across.
We're talking about the book On the Back Roads Again, More People, Places, and Pie Around Virginia. As I said, it's not really a sequel. It's more further adventures from their original book of 3 years ago by Bill Lohman and Bob Brown. Let's go back a bit before the interstate system. And you had U.S. Highway 1, which went from Fort Kent, Maine, to the north, down to Key West, Florida, through Richmond. And you had all these little towns along the way and motels along the way. Then the interstate system came in. And while it's the fastest and most efficient way to get from place A to place B, you don't see anything. Almost every other road becomes a back road.
Right. Yeah, even, you know, Route 1 is not much. Although we did a story on Route 1 some years ago, drove the length of Route 1 in Virginia. Anything other than the interstate becomes pretty good territory for finding things. We did the series on U.S. 11 last book, and a couple of those pictures that didn't make it into that one are in this book. But we often go down U.S. 11 and get stuff down in around Lexington. You know, that's where we find Mark Klein and his foam hinge is down 11. And you get down into Shenandoah County. We did a piece on Shenandoah County, so there's some Shenandoah County stuff in here up north of Harrisonburg. And then on the other end, down toward Abingdon and Bristol is on 11. So, and then you get out into, especially out in southwest Virginia, you start driving down these roads, and you don't know where you are.
But it's like a gold mine, you know, as far as photo opportunities and story opportunities. I mean, you kick a rock and a story is under it. It's just amazing down there. And one of the tricks I use when I'm driving, I always have usually one camera around my neck and one in the seat right beside me. And I've almost knocked Bill Laird a couple of times trying to snatch a camera up and get a picture.
But have you gotten some great ones that way? I mean, that really...
Decent?
Well, what I'm getting at is it has to be not only spur of the moment, but you have to catch that moment.
Yeah. If you don't catch it, it's gone. So that's why I always try to be ready.
Many a soccer mom can relate to that, missing the play by Junior, just by being a fraction of a second too late with the picture.
Yeah. Down in Eastern Shore, we had an interview set up at a specific time. We had a little time, so I said, well, let's drive down this side road. And... So we did, and there was a field of hay or barley. I could see two deer ears sticking up, and, you know, just the eyes. And I'm thinking, oh, there's a picture, and I grabbed the camera, and as I raised it to shoot out the window, I mean, I'd stop the car, of course, the deer jumps up, and I managed to get a shot of a deer like a foot or so above the hay.
With so many roads now being back roads, this is a guide and a preview of what you would see if you take a weekend off and drive around Virginia. Some of the places, such as Cumberland Gap, is too far to get in a day. But a lot of, if you draw a circle around Richmond that is 1 to 200 miles, you can make a nice day trip out of that.
Yeah, I mean, you go east and you go over to Matthews County or Gloucester or something like that, or you go west and you go out to Louisa and Orange and go south and you go down into, southwest Charlotte County or down Emporia Way. I mean, you just get on the roads and drive, you can see all kinds of stuff.
And you two are not picking up the things such as the major tourist attractions that we all know and love, Monticello and places such as that. But you're going for some of these places that you wouldn't normal people might normally bypass. They might go too fast down the road, even a back road, and miss it. Cuz's Barn is a restaurant in Tazewell.
I drove by that place for years, thinking, what is that dump with a graffiti all over it? Not knowing it was like a 5-star restaurant. And then we were down doing a story in that area. And one of the local folks said, oh, you got to eat at Cuz's. And so, what is that? Oh, it's that old barn down there. And so we went in, and it was just like, holy mackerel. We've been back probably a dozen times, I guess, over the years.
I know you two are pie aficionados. There are places where you wouldn't expect, but you would find delicious pies. basically, I assume these are made by what amounts to a home cook in a restaurant and not a national chain.
Sometimes they are in homes.
Yeah, because we've gone to interview people, and you know our reputation, such as it is, precedes us, and they have a pie ready for us, which is really nice. So we have, you know, we've had home cooks bake stuff for us. But yeah, the best places are the smaller places, and even some place like Floozy's, which is not a hole in the wall at all. It's a very nice bakery attached to a really nice restaurant.
Obrigado.
But it's a small town, and it's just got a great vibe to it, and the pies are tremendous. And I've had more people email me and tell me what they ordered at Floozy's, and they, you know, they got the apple pie or the sour cherry or whatever.
Well, based on your story you did on Route 33, I stopped in at Floozy's, had lunch, and a pie. And I brought a pie home, which was a mistake, because I can't eat a whole pie at once, you know.
We can.
You should have called.
But again, you're pointing out places in this book that, again, people might bypass if they didn't know better, and you're teaching them to know better.
We take the interstates, too, when we go places. But if you have the time, if you're not rushed to get somewhere, get off on an exit and ride on the corresponding parallel road for a few miles, for a few exits, and just see what you see. You might pass through a little town. You might find a pie shop or general store, a monument to something you hadn't expected, just almost anything.
Well, you point out, I think, earlier that Interstate 81 parallels Route 11, and you can almost see Route 11 from 81. And yet, you're not on Route 11 where everything is interesting. You're on 81 where there are too many trucks and a lot of traffic.
Exactly. Tomorrow we're going down to Roanoke to talk to Beth Macy about her new book. And one of my friends has been telling me, you need to go to stop at Vesuvius. It's right off of Steele's Tavern on 11 and between Stanton and Lexington. And, you know, there's a place called Gertie's that you really got to go to. So we figure, okay, we'll do it this time. And it looks like, we've seen pictures, it looks kind of like a dump, but it's supposed to be super good food. You know, just small place, but like an old country store. And the family owned, and they do their own barbecue and stuff like that. And so we're going to try that tomorrow for lunch.
I give the impression that it's all about food, and it certainly is not. You're talking about a lot of people who are famous in Virginia, or who should be. Bill, you have brought out the essence of a lot of these people.
Well, I just try to tell their story. I mean, it's fun. It's fun to write about people who other people don't know about. You know, writing about celebrities is not very much fun to me, anyway. Although we've written about a few. But
you've written about Ralph Stanley.
I've written about Ralph, so yeah, not the first Adriana. To write about him, of course, and Adriana. I've written about my share of well-known people, and that's. Those are great to do, but what I really like is to write about somebody you wouldn't know. You wouldn't have any reason to know, but they have a pretty interesting story and, you know, sort of enlighten people about their neighbors around the state. One of the things I was going to point out about this book that's a little different than the other one, we have an added section in this one that we called Absent Friends. Because we've done this for so long, and because we had, you know, so many people in the other book, some people we've written about over the years have passed away. And so we did a little section with a few of those people that we've written about, and some were featured in the first book that have passed away in the meantime. And we just pictures of them and little details about them and why we interviewed them and that sort of thing. So that's kind of a nice touch that we were glad to get into this book.
This book, the second of the two that you have, is a bit larger than the former one.
Yeah, it's 32 pages. Yeah. More, so it's a little bit beefier, which we were happy about. And then we had to cut out a few fewer pictures.
Plus, we have one section of us doing, what do we call it, behind the scenes outtakes, basically, of us doing stupid stuff like me on a camel, and Bill doing other things.
People would be surprised to know that, yes, there are camels in Virginia.
The largest herd, we understand, of Bactrian, the double hump camels, is in Burke's Garden, Tazewell County. This retired physician decided he liked camels and he started raising them. The last time we visited him, he insisted that we ride a camel, which fortunately was a well-mannered camel, huge.
Burke's Garden is in such a place geographically that you wouldn't normally drive through it. You can't drive through it. It's a loop road. You would have to want to go there.
Not only that, you want to get gas before you go there, too, because they don't have a gas station.
Something to eat.
They have a little general store. I think they have recently had a B&B open, but before that, intermittently they've had B&Bs there, but there's no motel there, there's no restaurant, there's no gas station.
How did you two know to go there?
Well,
again, somebody recommended it?
Yeah, I mean, because I didn't know that part of the state. We did the 58 series back in 2002, and I was completely unfamiliar with Southwest Virginia until we got out there on 58 and became very, you know, enthralled with it. And in the meantime, one of the guys we met on that series, we went out and did a piece on him, a fellow named Frank Kilgore out in St. Paul, and he's a big booster of Southwest Virginia. He's an attorney, but his father was a coal miner, and he just loves the area, and he loves to get people in there. And he suggested we take this drive. This was about 2003 or 4, I think. We take this drive called the Heart of Appalachia Trail or something like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, we didn't know what we were getting into. It was like started in St. Paul and it ended at Burke's Garden. So we said, oh, we'll do that on the way back. Well, we were, you know, these
open
roads.
Cattle gates.
There were cattle gates we had to open and close and gravel road. I'm surprised we got there. But we finally got to Burke's Garden and we went, my goodness, this is, after we stopped at Frog Level in Tazewell County, this little general store. And I said, what is there in Frog Level? And the guy said, you're looking at it. But we visited Burke's Garden then, and we went, wow, this is something. So that was included as part of that trip. But we went back some years later when we did a series on 10 places you need to see in Virginia, and Burke's Garden was one of those places. And so then we got to know it better, and then we went back again after the first book to do a book signing, actually, up there, and included a few more things from that more recent trip in this book from there. So we kind of like that because it's a hidden-away place. You've obviously been there if you know about the Loop Road and all that, but you do have to want to get there.
You're hearing from Bill Lohman and Bob Brown, who've written the book Backroads on the Backroads Again, More People, Places, and Pie Around Virginia. And these guys are reporters. One is a visual reporter, the other is a written word reporter, and you would think nothing could get through to them anymore. They've seen everything. And you hear the enthusiasm of places around Virginia. Apparently you guys are open to adventure.
We haven't seen them all yet, but we're trying.
As long as the newspaper puts up with financing you traveling around the state, you're in good shape.
Yeah, I think they don't know how much we really enjoy it.
What are some of the other places? I want to give people a flavor of this so that when they get the book, they'll know what they're looking at and know what they're hearing about.
Oh, one thing I'd like to mention is that Adriana Trigiani did the foreword for us. Bill did a story on her a few years ago, and then we went down when they were filming Big Stone Gap, the movie, in Big Stone Gap, and did a story on that, and that's featured in the book. We do have local stuff, too. And one of the neat things, the Women's Football League that we featured in the first book down in Pennington Gap, Full Contact Football League for women. And, I mean, these are like high school principals and, housewives, and the star running back was not available that night, the night we photographed the game. And she had a date for the prom. So she showed up in a prom dress to wish the team well. And I posed a picture of her with the team. She's in the dress. Everybody else is in full uniform. When we were doing the book tour in 2013, some lady in that area saw the picture of her with the football team and said, oh, she went to the prom with my boy that night. And she's a doctor now. And it's like, really? Where? About 10 miles from here. So we called her up and went back and did a follow-up on her. I mean, it's just stuff like that. And we only met her for like 10 minutes, I guess, 10 years before. And she just welcomed us. People are really great.
That's what you have found, and that's what our readers and people who will look at this book will get. The title is On the Backroads Again, More People, Places, and Pie Around Virginia. It's a continuance, really. A continuing adventure from their first book that was put out 3 years before. Bill Lohman and Bob Brown join us in the studio. Bill and Bob are reporters for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you, Lou.
Again, the book is entitled On the Back Roads Again, More People, Places, and Pie Around Virginia by writer Bill Lohman and photographer Bob Brown. There are two ways to order it if you're interested. One is on the Internet. Go to richmond.com/back-roads or call 804-649-6261. You're listening to Discovering Virginia on the Virginia Voice. And for the Virginia Voice, I'm Lou Dean.